Hey, Cleaning Nation, ever listen to the show and think, if I could just get this guy to help me out, I would save so much time and frustration? Or my life would be awesome if I could just get a few of these systems they're actually talking about actually implemented in my business? Well, if that's you, I've got some spectacular news. I am hosting our first ever live event. We are personally going to walk through the Clean Profit Method with no more than 16 owners and cleaning companies in just 2.5 days. I cannot wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method together. If this is scratching where you itch, stop watching or listening to the show right now and go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details. Like I said, I can't wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon. Cleaning Nation, welcome to this episode of Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start the show by thanking you for being super spectacular, sharing the show, subscribing, rating, and reviewing on iTunes, Google, Facebook, all that other stuff. Can't tell you how helpful that is to keep the cleaning love coming your way. If you have left a review, I always want to personally thank you. Give me a shout out on the Facebook group and let me know so I can tell you thank you and maybe send you a little gift. And of course, if you want the latest and greatest on how to get all the financial freedom that probably drew you into the cleaning business, everything we've got that's helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies achieve their dreams is at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out as soon as you're done with the podcast. Today, we are chatting with a return guest, John Disselkamp from First Class Commercial Cleaning. He's got such a cool story, not to mention a very sexy accent, coming from a staunch heterosexual background. I'm just telling you, John, I'm digging your vibe. This guy's been serving the Louisville, Kentucky area for just over 2 years, and they've grown from 0 to 45 employees in that time. And I remember John was one of my one-on-one clients when he first started out. I think he had like less than 10, 5 or 10. And it's so exciting. He was on the podcast. I'll make sure I link to that in the show notes so you guys can kind of hear the before and after. If you want to reach out to John and his team, you can get a hold of him at www.wecleanlouisville, spelled Louisville.com. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I turn my back on you for like 9 seconds, and you just go nuts and hire a bunch of people and get a bunch of accounts, man. Tell me, give us, Cleaning Nation, a little update about how life's been.
Well, life has been good. I think I mentioned to you before the podcast, I got married in the last year, and so a lot of things have transpired, that being the biggest. But with business, yeah, I think when we talked over a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, I was at, I think, 5 or 6 employees. Just to catch up, we still do commercial cleaning only. And our niche within that niche is Class A office buildings. Not to say we wouldn't do others, but for the most part, that's what we have in our current client base, and that's kind of what we're going for moving forward. We have about 45 team members now. I think a lot of that growth, really all the growth, has been organic through building relationships, leveraging past relationships in my former career, and honestly, my biggest relationship came from a cold call. So I think we've just built it based on, I mean, it's not anything too complicated. We built it on relationships, both with team members and with clients. We always say one toilet at a time. So nothing special other than we've hustled, we worked hard, and we treat our team members as actual people and not numbers. We invest a good amount of time in the hiring process, and I think it's worth it. I think it works out in the long run. A lot of that I learned from you, and matter of fact, a lot of the stuff I built my company on the foundation is stuff I learned from you in the beginning and all the podcasts. I would listen to your podcast or every single one over and over again when I started my company because I didn't know what I was doing. I knew a little bit about business. I didn't know a thing about cleaning. Just simple things such as, what you preached about billing ahead of time and prepay. And I didn't think anybody would go for it, and I did it. And every single client has been is on prepay now, including the large property management company. And I think that's just because of the relationship we have with them, sitting down with them, asking them, say, this is the way we do it. Is that okay? And then, ongoing interview days that we schedule, whether we're hiring or not, core values, all those things, I think have played into, our little success so far, I guess.
Well, and thank you for saying that. Obviously it makes me feel good, but more importantly, I get on this daggum microphone, I preach and preach and stomp my little foot and get on my soapbox. And I think, a lot of it gets through, we get a lot of positive feedback, but there's always this degree of, well, that's Mike and he's some sort of magic genie that came out, of the womb doing business, which of course is ridiculous and not true, but I think there's that belief. And when we got regular guys, even with cooler accents than I have, saying stuff like, yeah, I just did it and it worked and I'm a bright guy, but nothing, nothing, I don't have special magic powers that y'all don't have. And I just followed the system and by golly, it worked. Thank you. Cause I think that again, aside from making me feel good, which is great, but not the point, it helps other folks that might want to use that excuse of, well, that's Mike, he's different, or he's this, or he, for some reason I can't do it. And they hear enough of the Johns of the world go, you absolutely can do it. So thank you for that. I think that aside from warming the cockles of my heart, it really brings value to the community. You did say one thing that I thought was super interesting. I want to make sure we don't gloss over. We're two things that are kind of same point. First, you said, I used, relationships for my last business, right? I'm like, ah, crap. Now everyone's going to use that as an excuse. Well, John had this blah, blah, blah relationship, and that's why he's rich and famous. Well, let's talk about that, because you said the biggest account you have is from a cold call. So let's talk about that, right? Because, everyone has the previous relationships that they have, and some are going to be able to leverage those to great success, and some they're not going to help in the cleaning business. So I would love to hear a quick version. I promise we'll get to coach and I'll help you, but I'd love to hear a quick version of that cold call and how that works. So the folks that are out there looking for an excuse of, well, I don't have John's, connection book. Tell us how that cold call went.
Yeah, and to your point, to back up when I really think about it, there was a couple where but it took effort. It was, hey, the guy I used to work with at the bank that doesn't necessarily know anybody more than me, but I just started taking people to coffee and lunch and just telling them what I'm doing now. And I think everybody knows somebody. So it doesn't necessarily mean you got to know influential people. This guy was, no more of a, mover and shaker than me, but he just happened to, after we had coffee and just talked and not trying to hard sell him on anything, he says, hey, I know somebody. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. But the cold call, it's the largest locally owned property management company. Obviously, if you're working in the Louisville area or anywhere, I mean, obviously it's, if you can, it's better to work with a larger locally owned property management company, decisions made here, all that stuff. So, what I've done, I've been very intentional about building my business and who I want to go after. Class A office buildings being the case, most of the ones that are of a certain size are managed by a property management company. So all I did is I knew that they were a player in town. I looked up on their website, LinkedIn. I wasn't linked. And I was in banking for 10 years. And I didn't know a soul or didn't know anybody that knew somebody there, or I didn't dig hard enough. But so I just went on their website. I looked at, it says meet our team. And I scrolled down and found out who was the highest guy that was over the whole property management division, where all the property managers, reported to him. And he was over the whole office portfolio and the whole apartment portfolio. So I made a binder, a little binder you can buy for $2. Put the picture of their real nice building on the front, put my logo, everything. I printed off my own printer, doesn't cost any money. And I have a intro letter, a sample contract, sample specs, a thing on SWEPT, which is the software we use, the chemicals we use, just to make it real professional. I dropped it off to him, and the letter was made to him. And of course he couldn't see me. He didn't know who I was. So I dropped the binder off, but dropping a binder off makes it a little bit harder for somebody to ignore you. And then I called 2 weeks later, or I called a week later and left him a message. He didn't call back. Called a week later, he left a message, he didn't call back. And then 2-3 weeks out of the blue, sitting on the couch with my wife, and he calls back and says he'll take a meeting with me. Had a good meeting. I left that meeting feeling pretty good, but I told my wife, I was like, these are one of the ones where, I might get something a year from now. And then 2 months after that, he called me and I'd like to give you an opportunity. It just happened to be their largest building. And it worked out, and we got a deal, and been working on that building since October. And that's an 8-story office building. And then we've since gotten 2 new 125,000 square foot office buildings from them as well. So straight from a cold call.
It's funny how lucky people that work hard get. Like, I just love that, a lot of people, I got lucky, and there's 2 or 3, and I promise we're going to get to the coaching, but man, you keep seeing such good stuff. I can't just move on like you didn't. Two things. First of all, I don't know if I had the Clean Profit Method complete when we were working together Dom, but if you remember, or even if you're not, module 6.3, Shock and Awe Package. First of all, what you did is a mini version of that. And I love, love, love when clients are like getting stuff without me saying nothing. Like, John's just a bright guy. And, you know, I never hurts my feelings when someone else has the same idea or good idea or oftentimes a better idea than I have. But for everyone listening, that Shock, I call it the Shock and Awe Package. And if you are a Clean Profit Method member, you can get the full details on module 6.3. They are work real well. And John said it perfectly. It's hard to throw away, right? The box that we use for that and is like a $60 box from Harbor Freight, and it looks like $1 million. I don't think anyone's ever thrown it away. Not only that, they display it, and then a lot of people go, hey, where'd you get that? How'd that come from? You get referrals upon referrals. That's the first thing, is it came with something different, right? And just everyone else, so many people do cold calls. Hey, I'm John. Can I talk to, you know, Mike or Steve or whoever the guy is? Nah, he's busy. Okay, and they leave and go, well, cold calling don't work.
Right.
Or, you know, even John left the binder. Okay, that's better than nothing, right? He came in with something, but he didn't expect to see John or Steve or Mike or whatever the guy's name is, and called back in a week, and they told him to pound sand, and he called back another week later, and they probably told him to pound sand again. I guess if the guy didn't call, you probably called him back 2 weeks from now. And I got my first job as a 20-year-old guy at the best car dealership in town that, you know, had, you know, he literally pulled out a stack of papers that was, I don't know, 14 inches thick, going, why should I hire you with no experience over all these guys trying to get a job at, you know, the kind of one of the more prestigious best places? And I didn't have a good answer, but I did come back the first of the month every month until they hired me. That was literally it. I just kept coming back until they hired me. And it sounds like that was your plan, John. And I love that even when he did call, you didn't go, ha ha, this is it. And had he not called back, he said, it didn't work, right? You never gave up. At every point, it was like, yeah, this is a long-term relationship. And it might be a 6 or 7-figure relationship over the next years or decades. If it takes me a year to get it and the guy spends, you know, controls millions of dollars and throws a couple million my way, it's worth it. So I just love your attitude was always, this is a long game. And just because I didn't win today, that of course I'm not going to win today. I'll win tomorrow. And maybe it'll be the next day, maybe the day after that, but I'm just going to keep swinging. Am I totally making up and twisting your words, or are we on the same page?
No, I 100% agree. I think, and I can't speak for the residential cleaning market because I don't do it, but in commercial cleaning, I think it's without a doubt. It's a long-term sell. It's a relationship-building sale. It's not a... they're going to sign up overnight. It's getting to know them, staying in front of them, never putting the file away. If they say no, you don't throw it away. You ask if you can stay in front of them, you know, and call them every 3 months to see how they're doing. And then eventually something's going to change, especially in this industry. There's enough cleaning companies that don't do the right thing that, you know, and you want to be that guy on deck. The next thing that happens, you get enough of those out in the air that eventually they'll start following. And that's the approach I take. It's not a hard sell. They're not going to make a big decision like that overnight. And then every once in a while you go to enough of them, you might have one that say, yeah, I've been thinking about changing. I just been avoiding it, you know, and then you might get a quick one. At least that's the approach I take in commercial, especially with a little bit bigger size buildings, 2 stories or more. I mean, you got to meet with them face to face. There's no online booking. There's none of that. It's face to face. You know, building true relationships with the people at those companies. So,
yeah, and I agree that you said it. You kind of made a blanket statement for commercial, which is true. It is a longer game, and you got to be willing to play that. And if you quit, you know, a month in, that's a hard fight to win. It's even worse with property managers, right? So it's one thing if I own a warehouse that's, you know, 60,000 square feet, and you know, that could take months to do. But if I'm a property manager, I got, you know, I might have, if I'm just an owner, I might have 0 to 1 or 2 people a year approach me. If I'm a property manager, I got nothing but cleaning guys coming every which way every day. So it's even harder. It's even a longer term game with property managers, but the stakes are higher. So I just love that you got that, and you could have easily given up at the short game and just said, this doesn't work. It sucks. Property managers won't buy. It's all a trap that you have to know something. You can make up 100 stories and quit, or you could just say, not today, tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, the next day. If not the next day, I'll just keep going. And I love that you won sooner than later, but you would have won. There's just no chance to do the right thing that consistently and try to be there for your folks and build relationships and not get results. It's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Man, I feel like I said, hey, John, call on, give you some free coaching. And then I bend your ear about all the cool stuff you're doing. What's going on in your world today that I can give you some help with, my friend?
Well, I have a question. So, what I've tried as far as building my team and team members, I've focused mostly on hiring. Somebody told me early on, you know, try to hire people that already have jobs. You know, A, they've been vetted. B, you know, if they've been with that company for a while too, which is what I look for, not job hopping, that, okay, they've been with a solid company, they've been there a while, they're workers. Working, most of our jobs are 5-night a week janitorial services. That's our core business. And I've noticed over time that some of them are starting to get burnt out, which makes sense. They work all day and then they go work more hours at night, and it's not necessarily easy work. So I guess my question is, how can I avoid that burnout, you know, with my team? You know, some of the things I've thought about is getting a group together that would be willing to be a floater, or maybe mix in, if I have a team of three or four or five or six, that I, you know, throw in a few people that this is their main job and they can spend a little extra time if need be. So, and then I'm already kind of doing what you kind of recommended in the beginning too, which makes a lot of sense. I overstaff a tad, and have, you know, six people work 3 hours as opposed to three people work 6 hours. And that allows me to, well, it avoids some of the burnout, but it also allows me to, you know, have people to fill in. You know, if we got a team of six, one person calls in, five people can still take care of the building. So all that being said, I guess the main question is, I'm rambling here, but how to avoid, you know, burnout with my team on five-night-a-week contracts.
Perfect. Great question. And I'm just going to give you, instead of diving deep and really unpacking one, I'm going to scattershot real quick five or six ideas for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. And then obviously you can customize them to what you want. And oh, by the way, I may not be the only person that told you, but I was absolutely one of the people that said, hey, let's, and I want to encourage Clean Nation to do that for commercial only, not for residential. It can work with residential, but it's a no-brainer with commercial. I always loved folks, men generally with families, and I know you can't discriminate, but, and I'm not saying I would never hire anyone that didn't fit this, but when I saw a man that had a wife and kids and a day job that he'd had for a long time, just like John's talking about, he went to the front of the line. Not that he got hired every time, but that was like 80% of it, right? Because you get a college kid, male or female, that's working for beer money, easy for him to just call out and tell you to piss off. But when you've got a guy that's an adult, that's got kids, and he's trying to, you know, put them through private school, I want to support these hardworking individuals. B, they see jobs differently than, like, even females, which is a good thing, right? Like, I'm married. I've got a kid. I've got two kids. And I definitely would want my wife, you know, luckily we're in a position that she doesn't have to work, but if she did, I'd want her to put my kid before the job, right? So there's nothing wrong with that. But as an employer, we obviously have to take that into consideration. So I love that. You've got a good profile for who you're looking for. And so many of the things that work with attracting customers work with attracting clients or employees, right? So you kind of, first and foremost, you have your picture of what a perfect employee looks like in terms of has a full-time job. I'm guessing, even though I said it, you didn't, maybe has some responsibility, isn't just working for beer money, and hadn't been job hopping, right? Maybe he's been at his full-time job 3, 4, 5 years, shows that he's stable. So that would be the first thing. It sounds like you're already doing it, is have a clear picture of what the right guy or gal looks like and the wrong guy or gal looks like, right? For me, college kids did not work. They had other priorities. Oftentimes moms, and again, you can't discriminate, not saying you should do that, but you take all these things into consideration. They're going to put their kids before the job. God bless them. They should be putting their kids before the job. Nothing wrong with that, but you just have to take these things into consideration. Okay. That said, let's talk about how to avoid the burnout. First and foremost, and again, a lot of these you're doing, but I want to repeat them so Cleaning Nation hears that John is absolutely on track with a lot of this. I don't ever like going more than 25 hours unless they earn it. So they've got to have been there for 3 to 6 months. They've got to tell me from the beginning they want 40 hours. And they've got to make sure they always show up. And I don't go from 25 to 40. I go from 25 to 30 and 30 to 35 and let them earn that position. So what would usually happen for every 4 or 5 quote unquote regular employee that was doing that 20 to 25, maybe 30 on a busy week hours, I'd have one or two guys, probably one for every 4 or 5 regular that would be doing 30 to 40. And he or she would have to prove themselves that they could do that on a consistent basis. Two, just like we said, overstaff, right? So if you've got a building, and you're doing my favorite buildings, by the way, Monday through Friday, 2 or 3 people, 2 to 5 hours a night, you just put a team in place and walk away, and it's like an ATM. You just get paid every month without a lot of headache if you've got it all set up right. I always try and have an extra person. So if one person doesn't show up, the two people can still clean. So I don't know if that's going to avoid burnout, but it avoids the headache. So if you could have two people there 3 hours, have three people there 2 hours, that way if the third person doesn't show up, the other people just work a little extra. Also, once you start getting to the level of supervisors, they're my first line of defense for people that don't show up. As far as the people, I would treat as a niche. So you said, hey, I'm looking for guys that have jobs already. Just like you said with the property manager, like, hey, we are looking for class A office space. I'm guessing you have some sort of square footage, you know, ideally 20,000 square feet to 150,000. You've got some sort of parameters. That's your niche. And that's where you're spending your time looking for. But if I walk in with my car dealership and say, hey, come do this place, you'll probably at least talk with me. Fair?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I do the same thing with employees, right? I might have my niche, my ideal demographic, age, income, whether he's got another or she's got another job or not, familial status, all that stuff. That's my niche. But if some college kid walks in that's like straight A's, going to Harvard, or, you know, going to some fancy school, and I've got a good feeling, I'm absolutely going to countenance them. So I'm going to have all my hiring ads, where I put them, what I say in them, are all going to be based towards my niche, but I'm still going to accept others. Does that make sense? Hey, Cleaning Nation, are you enjoying the show? Want to go from listening to doing? If you're committed to making this the year that you kick your company into hypergrowth and actually start implementing all the systems that I coach on this show that will allow you to work on your business instead of in it, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details on our upcoming live event. I'm going to personally walk you and 15 other entrepreneurs through the entire Clean Profit method in just 2.5 days. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Paid vacation goes a long way. Obviously, they have to earn it. I'm not a big fan of cleaners. You know, hey, you walk in, you get 2 weeks paid vacation right off the bat. But once they've been with me, probably three months at the minimum, probably a year at the longest, probably closer to 6 months, I like giving them paid vacation. Two things happen. One, and I make them take it. A lot of people want the money. I never let them have the money. They got to take their vacation. One, that helps avoid the burnout. Two, they quit less, right? If they've got a week's paid vacation, they think twice or three times about quitting as opposed to not. And you have to do the math. But for me, a week's paid vacation at 10 bucks an hour is $400 or $500 to invest in a guy that's been with me 6 months and maybe picked up shifts for other people, is a good person, he's trained. You know, if you think about what is it going to cost to replace that guy or gal, that $500 a year of investment in that person is nothing. And they feel good, right? A lot of them don't have paid vacation, or they haven't had a part-time job where they had paid vacation. Is that something you have done or are doing, or is that new?
No, not formally. I've had a few people that have been with me over a year that that I've allowed to take some paid vacation days, but nothing formally on that yet. I mean, we work with our people. Again, we build good relationships with our people, and if they earn it and they work hard and they show up every day and they're doing all the right things and they need a day off from time to time. And I even tell them, even if it's not, you don't even have to be sick. Hey, John, I'm just burnt out. Can I just take a day off next week or something? And with enough notice, we usually work with them. Now, wanting to build the company, you know, based bigger and more turnkey as we grow, less in the head, more on paper, you know, then obviously we got to come up with some more formal, fair across the board policies, I guess. But we're working.
Well,
on
let
that
me give
now.
You a. Let me give you an added benefit, not just the legal and like, hey, you gave Johnny this and Susie didn't get and all that nonsense. Yes, that's true. In addition, there's a reason when you walk into the little dojo, the black belts have black belts and they walk around with their black belts. Well, I want my black belt. How did you get your black belt? Well, people actually stick around and get black belts. So I want it front and center. I want to make an announcement. Hey, John's off this week. He's been here a year and a half and dude's in Aruba and God bless him. Everyone, you know, everyone, let's give a round of applause for John. We want to hold those black belts up, the people that have been there 6 months a year that are on their vacation, make a big deal, point at them, right? Hey, John's going to be gone next week, or Bob's going to be gone next week. Dude's, I don't know what he's doing, but he ain't going to be here and we're paying him because, you know, so in addition to making it formal for, you know, for legal reasons and just fairness, get the value. You want a return on that investment. That return is A, John comes back rested, relaxed, and not burnt out. B, all the people working with him that were thinking about quitting, but they're like 3 months away or 2 months away from getting their paid vacation. They can kind of see it and taste it. So I would make it formal, not just for the legal and fairness side of it, but also for let's get value from all the employees, even the ones not getting paid vacation that are going to stick around longer because they want it. Okay. Events is huge. I have monthly events with my people. For me, I bought alcohol. You have to decide if that makes sense for you and your, and you obviously make sure everyone gets home safe and all that good legal stuff. But we'd always buy food, for sure buy food, alcohol. We'd have bouncy houses. We'd have games, foosball, basketball, sumo wrestling with the big fat things where you go wrestle, or big, you know, boxing with, you know, massive gloves that you couldn't hurt anybody with. Just ridiculous amounts of fun on a monthly basis. Bring the kids, bring the spouse. You'll get a whole different human being if you've got, you know, this big gruff old cleaner that's been around forever that never smiles or whatever. All of a sudden his 4-year-old's with him. Whole different human being in events like that. And then his wife meets another lady that cleans for you, and he likes her, and or they get along, and there's all these relationships that just are, they make the pain of disconnect much higher. It's now an opportunity that they don't to kind of fulfill something in terms of this need to belong to a community and to be a part of something bigger than themselves that they're not getting fulfilled elsewhere in their lives. I found that sense of community will replace pay, will replace just about anything other than appreciation. You also have to show them appreciation. And you do that at the events, right? So when we do the events, we get an award for everybody. Guy that used his vacation best, ugliest guy that got the best looking wife, guy that drives the biggest piece of junk car, like what, and then obviously have the real ones in there, right? Like this guy got the most positive feedback, or this guy's, you know, perfect attendance, or, you know, so have some serious ones in there as well. But that recognition and that feedback and that kind of, oh my gosh, this is more than I put my hand in a toilet for an hour. You give me $12 and a half. That is a tough relationship to sustain. But we've got this relationship and this community and this family that I'm a part of. It's big, right? You go to a church and you find all these people doing, you know, this huge service where they got coffee and food and the kids are watched and they've got a soundboard and they've got all this professional light guy. And you think, my goodness, this must cost like 20, 30 grand to put on this show. It's like, nope, it's free. Why? Because everybody believes in this community. It's important to them. Obviously, there's another dynamic as well, but there's a lot of it that has to do with the community, and they do it all for free and they show up every week without fail. And you'd be shocked at how the sound guy or the guy that plays guitar at church will never miss that, but he'll miss work. It's because of, I mean, obviously there's a spiritual component, which is important, but there's also that community in there, which makes a big difference. So I would put all of my eggs in the community basket. Easiest way I found to do that is appreciation and recognition, and that appreciation and recognition done at events. And then I've got some others I'm going to skip because we're way over time. The last thing, which you've got, but I want to make sure to encourage you on it and make sure Cleaning Nation gets it. You have to have a system that brings in good qualified prospects all the time. Because the best way, the stuff I've given you will help decrease burnout, but people die, they quit, they get sick, they move, they get promoted. All sorts of things happen, burnout or not, where you're going to have turnover. And the best inoculation from high turnover is just so many people coming in the door. And you said, I always overhire. I run my, and this is so key. People are so scared, and I constantly beat this drum. I run my interviews whether I need somebody or not, because the reality is I'm always going to need somebody. A, because I'm a fast growth company, which is great. And B, because there's just turnover. Even if I'm doing a great job, people still die, get pregnant, get sick, have kids, move away, whatever. And they tend to do it in bunches, right? I don't know if your job's in your business isn't in mine, but you don't lose one. Like, you go fine for 3 months and all of a sudden three people just quit all together for, or in the same week, for seemingly different reasons. So that system for having a stream of qualified people coming in is the best inoculation for turnover. Cool. That's what I got on that. Unless any big hanging chads or questions you've got, or can we hit the lightning round and get some more of your genius onto record for the world?
I think I'm good. I think you covered it. I think we're doing some of those things already, and maybe we need to kind of refine that as well. So,
well, I think it's encouraging too. Like, there's, for me, when I was in business, or I am in business, but as I've been in business, it's good to know, hey, that's wrong, stop it, or that you're not doing this, start it. But also, these things that you're doing are good because we put a lot of time and money into them and can wear us out. We're like, is this even getting a return on investment? So even for you and Cleaning Nation, if you're doing some of these things, just that confidence of, okay, this is actually the right thing to do, and it's this is worth the time and money, can be valuable, right? Because a lot of times we want to give up, right? I gave him the package and I called him 3 times and he never called him back. I quit. And the 4th time is when he was going to call back. So that encouragement can be almost as valuable sometimes as new information. All right. We're going to hit the lightning round quick because I've been talking like a madman. First question, best piece of advice you've ever received either personally or professionally?
Right before I started my company, I met with a friend of mine and told him I was going to be doing this. And I was saying, well, I don't know this yet. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know what a mop it, you know. And he said, you've been talking about this for 6 months. He goes, you just got to do it and then figure it out once you start. And I heard somebody say, and entrepreneurs, when you jump off a cliff and try to build a plane on the way down. That's kind of what I did. And I still don't know what I'm doing sometimes. I'll have to Google what I'm doing. But the best advice was you just got to do it and not overthink it. And even if it's version one, like you've said before, you know, that's better than nothing, you know. So just do it like Nike.
Don't know who that man is, but I love his vibe. All right, question number two. What's the biggest, now that you've been doing this for a little while, what's the biggest mistake that you've made so far that the rest of us can avoid?
You know, probably a couple times I've waited too long to let someone go that I knew in my gut wasn't a good fit, and was just out of fear, or maybe I'm not doing enough to put this in a position to succeed. And at the end of the day, it was time, and I waited too long on that.
I got to give a big here. That is probably my biggest weakness as well. Not biggest. One of my biggest weaknesses as an entrepreneur is, and I've learned going backwards, you get that day or that moment in your gut when you're like, this guy, this gal is not right for this team anymore. And you wait and you tell yourself that I didn't give him an extra chance, or I need to do this, or you justify. And then you end up, they put you through a bunch more pain, or your team through a bunch more pain. And you fire them, you know, weeks or months later. And 0% of the time have I gone after I fired them, dang it, I should have waited another week, another month. Every time it was, why didn't I do that when I knew in my gut, you know, weeks ago. And then the worst part is when the employees come around. Yeah, God, it took you long enough, John. Why didn't you get rid of them? You're like, why didn't you say something? So I feel that pain. I live that pain. And it's good to know there's other bright guys out there making the same dumb mistakes I do. All right, last question. What's one idea Clean Nation can put into practice right away, something simple to implement that can make their lives or their business even a little bit better?
I'd say investing time. Don't be afraid to invest a good amount of time in the hiring process and the training process. And if you bring on a new customer in the onboarding process, they all kind of go hand in hand. But if you get a little puppy and you take care of it and you train it right in the beginning, it's going to last a long time. if I've taken my foot off the pedal or my hands off the wheel a little early on a new team member or a new customer, it's gone south, and then they weren't put in a position to succeed, and it didn't work out. Or I hired the wrong person because I needed a warm body. So investing the time in the hiring and training process and on new customers and making sure they're up to speed before you let go is really, really huge in my business.
This lightning round, Clean Nation, has been brought to you by Hire Slow, Fire Fast. It is exactly what you're saying, John, and I couldn't agree more. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Clean Nation appreciates all the wisdom you laid on us. Clean Nation, if you want to check out John's show notes page, as well as a special video I made for you guys right now, all the content that you have to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.